All right, guys, let's start up. So, much to Jonah's chagrin, oftentimes we're macabre and scar la drisha. We're going overtime, but today will be macabre scar la pre-show. That's the goal for today.
That chagrin turned my face into a
grin. Hi, what's up? I'm Nicole Lima. What's the macabre scar la pre-show?
I'll give you my insight into their chef, their buchinas. If you want to know how the buchinas are numbered, like they go in alphabetical order. Of the first letter of the question is in alphabetical order.
How does it help at all?
You know why?
How does it help at all?
You know why, right? Because he doesn't want to give you a Muslim mukhar so that you can't guess the shot it's on.
Oh, interesting. Is that why?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so a few points to wrap up our discussion. The first point is not something I want to address directly, but I just want to point out that in the background of the discussion of this sugya, there are all sorts of interesting tidbits about the specific avos nezikin. So there are some interesting tidbits about bor. Like, for example, can you have a moving bor? That's in the background of the discussion of our sugya. Remember, the marshal has this idea that any hazard in Rosh Hashanah is a bor. Even if it's moving, it's a bor. That's against the simple reading of all the other Rishonim and Tosfos that we're really dealing with Eish. If something's moving, it's Eish. There's also the interesting tidbit in the Meiri about whether something could be considered bor if it's knocked around by a behema. That's also part of the discussion in the Meiri there about the Hagdara bor. There's also interesting tidbits, not about bor, but about Eish. So, for example, the Achronim defending the position of Rashi will argue that Eish that's transferred by Ruach Chaim is not Eish, either because a Ruach Chaim is a Ruach She'ina Mitsuya, or because a Ruach Chaim actually contributes to the act damage. Whereas a non-Ruach Chaim Ruach, is just a transporting vehicle for the fire. So in the background of our discussion, there are all these interesting tidbits about Bor and Eish. I want to call one more to your attention, a really interesting comment of the Chazon Ish, who's explaining Tosos' position. Tosos' position that when you have an Adam who acts the Kavana, an Adam who acts, so that absorbs all the liability against the, away from the Baal Takala. So here's the second comment. Chazon Ish in Simon Bey's Os Chavala. So Tosos argues that when there's an Adam acting, at least the Kavana, then the Baal Takala is totally Pater, right? That's one of the things we'll get discussed later. So, you know, Tosus gets into this issue, well, how is this different from the case of the Shor Be'adam Shedachu Lebor on Dachman Gimel? There, the Gemara implied that an Adam is partially liable, along with the Baal Takala, but on Dachvav, Tosus says that when an Adam acts, the Adam alone is liable, not the Baal Takala. Does that sound right to everybody? Yeah? Ellie? Sounds right?
No, I just didn't.
Oh, Ellie's here.
Once a week.
Right. Aram, does that sound good? I'll put it anyway. So again, Tosus argues that when you have an Adam acting, the Adam absorbs the liability away from the Baal Takala. That Tosus points out there's a stira to Daphne and Gimel on a base, where a Shor Ba'adam Shadachu Labor, the Gemara says you split liability between all three of them. So the question is, how do you really reconcile those two cases? So Tosus said, oh, one's Bekavana, one's Shalom Bekavana. Chazon Ish has an interesting idea to distinguish between Bor and Eish. He says, "Amnam nira de lo dami, in our case, lo adam shedachaf lo bor." Why? Listen to this. De hasam have bor kodem shedachaf. On the Gimel case, it always was a bor. It always existed. And the adam pushed somebody in. Aval even hamuneches pershus harabim, lav shem Eish Allah, kodem shehutzda. But a bor that's just placed in a pershus harabim in even doesn't have a shame ish until it's propelled into motion by the second actor, the Adam. Uchshenase ish al yidei Adam b'pshia ein ze shame ish el Adam hamazir. You see what the Chazon Ish is getting at here?
No, if you don't know
what I'm saying. Take a look at it for a second. Chazon Ish is saying that in the Rosh Hashanah Rabin case, so our case on Dafa, right? So maybe we could hold the first guy liable of Mitam Eish. Okay? correct?
Yeah.
So, and then Tosen, why do we submit the liability in our case on Dafa? Right? Hold the first guy, the Bala Takala, liable Misham Ish. Right? His Ish is transported al yidei the Adam Hasheni. Why don't we say that? So the Chazon says, well, there's this technicality that when the first guy put it down, it's a boar. Now you want to turn the boar into Ish once it's picked up and kicked by the second guy? Well, then, the moment it becomes Ish, it's already Adam HaMazik of the second guy. So it's like it falls between the cracks of description. Right? But in the case of the Nagimulam Beis, so it was always considered a boar. The Bala Takala was liable Mishum boar, and now a second person just made use of his boar. So like the Chiyuv for boar persists through time, and now it's joined by another, so you split liability. But in the case of Dabav, it starts off as boar. Now you want to elevate it to Ish when it's kicked by the second guy? Okay, let's elevate it to Ish. But wait a second, the moment Ish kicks in, Adam kicks in, because in Adam Hasheni, the second guy is kicking it. So it's like the Adam Hasheni overrides the Chi of Ish, because they're both trying to kick in at the same time.
So it's not that Adam overrides any Zikin.
Exactly. It's a technicality that when we're trying to trigger Ish, we end up triggering Adam. So you see, this is another interesting tidbit about the Mechayvim of Ish and Bor. Chaznish thinks there's a chisaron in applying a Chi of Ish. When the first guy put a boar, now we want to turn it into Ish, but the moment we try to turn it, it actually turns into Adam HaMatzeh. And there's a lot of interesting things you could extract from the Chaznish about what he thinks about how these avos are triggered. Right? He's almost like a very technical procedural way. And if there's like something wrong in the procedure and triggering Ish, then you can't hold the first guy liable. I would have said it's Eish. Well,
do you think it's not Eish, or are you just saying that you're not high with Eish, you're high with Adam?
Ein zeh shein Eish. Who shenaseh Eish al yidei Adam, once it turns into Eish by the second actor.
It's like a contradiction in the first and second act. When it turns into Eish al yidei Adam, it's not Eish.
It's a lot of interesting. So why? The Eish called Gachar, we're both an Agar Kaibah. About Ein Lacho Pshias Adam, the Father Akar of Kaibah. Very difficult to parse this. But you see what he's getting at, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also about the Shikasa and Chazon Shikasa earlier.
Yeah.
It's very clearly defined categories and everything.
100%. Yeah, I think it's very much the Chazon Shikasa. That it's like, well, now that it's picked up by the second guy, they could either fall under the description of Adam HaMazik or Ish. And, well, it's like more akin to Adam HaMazik, so it becomes Adam HaMazik. This is very much the Chazon Shikasa, that like there are these very rigid ways of applying the descriptions to the cases.
Very apodictic.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. That's just I want to say that's the background issue for like the tidbits about Bor and Eish that come up in the Sigya. So implicitly in the Chaznish, Bor has greater persistence through time than this kind of Eish that begins as Bor and then tries to upgrade the Eish in the middle. Okay. That's the first thing I want to get out of the way.
But if it was Eish
beginning.
And then he picked it?
So arguably, right. So arguably, if I rolled it in Rosh Hashanah, and it like starts off as my Ish, and then like somebody else adds another kick to it, Chazni seems to say that it may still be the Ish of the Rishon. Right? And I think that's consistent with this like apodictic, as Liat puts it, way of looking at it. Right?
In this exact case, where the second person came along, he kicked it after the first guy came along.
Right. It would sound like he would say, well, but in that case, it's still Ish, right? It's still Ish of the Rishon. Okay. Now I wanted to come to the Tosfos Rid discussion. So Tosfos Rid, I think Isaac is very much right about his characterization of Tosfos Rid from last week on Wednesday. That what you have here in Tosfos Rid is an argument. What you get out of Tosfos Rid is that the actions of the first person have very little persistence through the interference of a second agent. Right? It's very easy for a person's action to be overridden by a second action. We'll get to Leah's point about the Pshia in a few minutes. I'll come back to your point on Wednesday. But exactly, I think those Rid is maybe the best and the only explicit statement on this. Let's just look at his statement, because there are a few interesting tidbits as well. So Tosfos Rid on your testament base in the case of the Tarnagel of Aduye Yadye. So remember, one person ties the chain to the leg of the Tarnagal, and the Tarnagal hops around wildly and causes the chain to damage things, or the animal damages things through the chain. So the Tosfos Rit says that only the Bala Tarnagal is liable, so like Rashi's position against Tosfos. Why? Hima Desheni Avid Maisa, since the Tarnagal acted, Batla Hagramaso Shel Rishon. So the grumma of the Rishon is nullified. So he's saying the tying of the rope, which is like a grumma, it sets the conditions. That's what he means by hagramaso. The act of the first person that set the conditions for later harm are nullified by the Maisa Desheni. See that? So the first guy made a taktala, basically. He set the conditions for a hazard. The mice of the shenu, even though it's just a behema here, overrides the grama derishon. So the actions of the first guy don't survive the actions of the tarnagal. So it's not a human agent, but even an animal agent has the ability to override the grama derishon. The second case of Tosfos Rit where he says this, commenting on the Gemara, called Beis on the Beis. Here the Gemara's discussion is, I give a torch, basically, to Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan. So the Gemara says that according, if I hold Isho Misham Chitzav, then even if I give a torch to the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan, I should be Potter, because Chitzav V'Katan. The Gemara says, "Kasabar tzavsa decheresh kagara, lo mechayiv ad demaser legamsa silsa v'sharga." There are a few ways to read this Gemara, but on one reading, the way Rashi seems to read it, you're not liable until you give the matches and sticks and coals, meaning all the materials that are necessary to light the fire, to the katan. And Rashi says that in such a case, so then the person who gave them to the katan is bad at Osheahu. He's at fault and he would be chayav, not the katan. But the person who gave, I give the matches to the katan and the katan burns down the city, I'm liable because I'm posheah for giving them to him. That's the simple reading of the Gemara according to Rashi. Tosfos Rit disagrees. Okay? Quotes Rashi's position, he summarizes it. This is a Pirush HaMorah. The Morah in Tosfos Rit is always Rashi. Very interesting that Tosfos Rit thinks that calls Rashi the Mora, no? Like Rashi's the teacher. No one else calls Rashi the Mora. Those not the Talmud of Rashi. It's interesting that he... Well? What's that?
It's the Mora to Rashi.
He always calls it Mora. He always calls Rashi Mora.
Maybe it's the Mora of Leo Strauss.
So he disagrees with this. So he goes to Rashi's position. Tosfos Rit himself disagrees. Why? Because if I give the matches to the katan, it's only pizza to katan. Maisa cheresheim. Even though the first guy is kosheya, ein lanu lalakas achar pshiyaso shel rishon elachar maisa desheni. So when you're choosing between the pshiya of the rishon who gave the matches to the katan, and the actual maisa of the katan, or the cheresh, follow the katan, follow the last actor. So here again, Tosfos Rit shitaso, the pshia of the rishon doesn't survive the interference of the sheni, even though the sheni here is not a bardas. The sheni here is clearly a cheresh. Somebody see that? Okay. Now the way Tosfos Rit reads the case in the Gemara about when you're liable. How does he read the case in the Gemara when you're liable for giving it to a katan? He said that's a case where you actually light the fire and then you ask a katan to be shomer it. That's the case that the Gemara is talking about where you're moser lecheresh and you're liable. Because there it's fully your action. The katan didn't interfere with your action. The point is just that you don't get off the hook for transferring the shmir to somebody else who's not a bardas. That's what Tosfos Rit deals with the Gemara. But in terms of his principal position, it's that a maisa lecheresh nullifies the earlier Pshia derishon. Third Tosfos Rit is in Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. And again, here he's just reiterating the same thing he says on Chav Beis and the Beis. But again, here's his explicit formulation. Here, I think the formulation is a little clearer. So, v'hicha v'cheresh ka'avid ma'isa v'yadayim, the act of the cheresh, we go basar his ma'isa v'cheresh, v'apikeach shemasar lo pater. See that? So again, here I think it's a little more explicit that the ma'isa yadayim of the cheresh is nullifying the ma'isa mesira of the pikeach. Earlier he calls that a pshia. I don't know if there's much of a difference between his calling it a pshia and his referring to it as a masala. But the point is that, again, Tosfos is really a very low threshold for nullifying the ma'isa of the rishon. This is the most interesting statement. Oh, and I should point out, as Isaac should have pointed out on Wednesday, in those cases, it seems as well that the katan is pater. Cheresh shotev katan is, of course, pater for his nezikin. Right? So in the first case of the adiyei adiyei, the test case, so in the first case actually, so the ma'isa the sheni is mevatel the grama derishon, but the sheni is chayiv. So it's a case of a second guy's liability nullifying a first guy's action. In the two cases of masra lecheresh shotev katan of the eish, so there are cases where the second guy's pater. That's what Gemara says, because the cheresh shotev katan can't be held liable for nezikin. So even though the katan is pater, his ma'isa is sufficient to nullify the first guy's action. So it's not a liability replacing potential liability. It's actually just an action. A non-liability action is nullifying the first person's ma'isa. Which is why Isaac's correct for his comment on Wednesday, that really what's going on here is the Tosfos Ritz showing us that it's very easy to knock out ma'isa. Right? Liability actions are only open insofar as they're not interfered with by second actors. Okay. The fourth statement from Tosfos Rid, really the third case, on Chavdal Rambez, also makes this point explicit. This is arguably the most interesting and developed positions of the Tosfos Rid here. So the Gemara says, right, so I incite Isaac's dog to bite Jonah. That's the case in the Gemara on Chavdal Rambez. So Tosfos Rid, quite intriguingly, asks, why isn't the Gemara poshet this din from our Gemara on Dachvav Meralev? Bor hamiskalbel bein ragli adam ragli behema. See, because he's going to say there's a structural parallel. Is my inciting Isaac's dog, Isaac's the balatakala, I'm the human actor, and then Jonah's the injured party. So that's similar to Bor HaMiskalgal Baragliyadam, right? There's a balatakala, a person who owns the boar, so that's Isaac. There's a human who interferes by kicking it, and then there's an injured party. So Tosfos Rid said, well, why isn't the question of Mishasa and Kalbo Shel Chaveru B'Chaveru fully determined by the Gemara's analysis on Daf Vav? Right? So he says, Ikasha, potentially before him, Skazo, Ragdad, and Ragdad, and Hema, the Ka'amar, Pasha, the Im Hashini, Abu Maisa, the Gufo, Kegon, the Rahade, Ka'azli, Masti, if it's Mazik, while it's Miskalgel, so then Hashini, Chai, or Rishon, Father. Right? Like Tosis' position on Tafvav. Aval Im Huzgubo, Achar Mikan, if it comes to arrest, if it comes to arrest, the liability shifts back to the first guy against the Meiri's view that we saw earlier in the sugya. But like the most we shown him, that after it comes to arrest, the liability reverts back to the first actor, the Baal Takala. Shemipnei garmaso shel sheni lo niftar garmaso shel rishon ad shiyasa hasheni maisa. So what does Tosfos Rid take away from the sugya on Daf Vav? Up to here. What does Tosfos Rid take away from the sugya on Daf Vav up until this point? He says what we can infer is that if there's a gorim, a hagrama, that's the baal hatakala, a person puts a hazard, sets the conditions for a hazard, and then there's a second gorim, somebody else like alters the conditions for putting a hazard in place. So that's the case when it comes to a stationary stop, right? I put it down. So I'll say Isaac puts it down. I kick it, So Isaac is puts a hagrama into place. I kick it. It comes to a stop. So I'm also like creating a hagrama, what he calls. I'm creating the conditions for a hazard. So we see from our Gemara that the liability reverts back to Isaac, the Baal Takal Rishon. But if there's a Maisa Biyadayim, if the harm comes while the action is still using the force of my kick, then the liability shifts to the Maisa D'Sheni. Right, that's what this rid conceptualizes our sugya. So I just want to ask, why do you think that's like, how do you think that makes sense to Tosas Rid? That in a case of there's a hagrama de rishon and then hagrama de sheni, the case where it comes to a stationary stop, that the liability should follow the rishon. Right? Why is it more intuitive that it should follow the rishon rather than the sheni?
I'm confused by that.
Well, why don't you say the second guy interfered? Let the second grumma override the first grumma.
He didn't create a hazard though. He only set the conditions.
So I set conditions for a boar. Second guy creates conditions for a boar.
It's more than that. The second guy, the boar was not that big, was out there. The second guy didn't do a nice serious boar. He kicked. Now, it happens to be the kick and moving the boar. That's not like a nice boar. Kick something.
Okay, I mean, that's one way, I guess, of saying it.
And then, but if the nezek comes, I'll say the maisa, the koach of the second guy, then he did do a maisa.
But Tosfos doesn't phrase it that way. He just says that the principle is mipnei gramasa shel sheni lo nishmar gramasa shel rishon.
Hashi asa sheni maisa nezek. The second guy did do a maisa nezek.
Why, but I'm saying, but give us the principle, why shouldn't a second grama override a first grama?
That's what I'm saying, because it's not a maisa nezek. We got one the priority.
So I'm saying, granted it's not a maisa nezek, why shouldn't a maisa grama override an earlier maisa grama?
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point. Because there's a difference between, it's not just Maisa Grama. One is a Maisa Nezek, one is a Maisa that
is never
boring.
Said never said the first guy's board is a Maisa Nezek.
Yeah, no, bring it to the Shady Maisa.
If there's a Maisa, the Maisa overrides Hagrama Shalrisha. That's granted. Right, a Nezek will override Grama. But why won't a Grama Shady override Grama Risha?
Well, yeah, I'm saying the first guy did a Maisa also.
Yeah, but I don't think
the placing down.
Yeah, but I don't think he's viewing it. I think he's just saying creation of a boar is just a hagrama, which falls.
Maybe hagrama
is
more permanent, like versus in time.
Yeah, so I think even more than that. I think like if you ask about where the momentum of a hagrama of a the nature of a hagrama, how he's using it, is that it's departure heavy, like where it came from. The nature of Nezek is that it's destination heavy. It's like you have to like weigh. So a Maisa Derishon versus a Maisa Deshin, if you're asking about a Maisa Nezek, it makes sense to... Well...
If you say front-loaded or back-loaded, I'm walking out. Okay. I'm literally just walking out.
So I think when you're weighing the momentum of a Maisa Nezek, so the thing that's closer to the injured party is like more of a Machayev, right? Because that's what Nezek's all about, the actual harm. So Maisa D'Rishon, Maisa D'Sheni, the Maisa D'Sheni carries liability. But what Hagrama, the nature of setting conditions for future harm, is that it's very much, I won't say front-loaded, but it's very much departure heavy, right? Because the real problem lies in like setting the conditions for the hazard. So it's in the nature of Hagrama that the go-rein, right, setting the conditions is where the liability lies. So then I think a grama de rishon is more substantial than a grama de sheni. That's what I'm getting at.
I get the story, but like it also doesn't really make sense, because if you're thinking about it as an establishment of conditions, then obviously the person who establishes the final conditions is more causative.
No, that's what I'm saying. But with respect to establishing conditions, so the person who like creates the conditions for the storm is like the person who's responsible. If you're asking about like who harmed him,
okay,
then it makes sense to go to the closest after.
Fine. I guess in terms of who did damage, what matters is who is closest to the damaging.
Right.
Whereas in terms of the creation of conditions that lead to damage, who is the biggest contributor to the creation of any condition?
Exactly. So you can think about it in like the Pashia side versus the Nezek side. And the Hagrama thing is about risk exposure. Right? So if you're asking like who created the risk, so then that Grama de Rishon created the risk, and the other guy, you know, altered it a little bit or moved it around a little bit. So, but when you're dealing with like creation of risks, it's departure heavy. But when you're dealing with actual injury, it makes sense to go to Mice of the Shane. That's the way I think that's a good way of just motivating the intuition that Tosis Rid is.
That's incredibly confusing if you want to take a step back and try to think what the reflexive ponder is like. Like, what type of stance or understanding as a whatever leads you to such a conclusion is well beyond my means of figuring out.
Even though I didn't say front loaded or.
Even though, yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad start. I'm just saying, like.
Why
is that any, difficult? Is there any intuitive sense to you why that would make sense in anything that's like any concept of financial protection, anything? Why there should be such a harsh distinction between theory of causations of Nezik versus actions that more directly.
Yeah, because in one case, the problem lies in exposing people to the risk, in which case, the first guy is like the primary contributor. And in the other case, the problem inheres in causing harm, in which case, the closest actor is the one who caused the harm.
But you can have, but they overlap.
So what the Tosis Rid thing just it rests on this ontological distinction between gramassos and maise nezik.
Yeah, can you define that more? When the Tosis Rid say digging the board is a grama or a maise nezik?
Grama, a grama, explicit.
But then how can digging the board be a grama and not a maise nezik?
Because there's the maise nezik happens later when somebody falls in. That's what's so interesting about Tosis Rid, that he
doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it's just
thinking of
Mice and Ezek. No,
it's not. Anything in evidence should be a grown up.
There's no Mice and Ezek. There's no Mice and Ezek in a boar. I mean, when somebody falls in, maybe there's liability. But the creation of the boar is not a Mice and Ezek per se. It's just the creation of a hazard. That's why he calls it a grown up.
Very hard to read Siaso the Ezek as being about the creation of a hazard.
Well,
the
it is.
The creation of the boar is that it is a Mice and Ezek in its conception.
No, it's Chilas Asiaso the Ezek, right? It's. The forecasts are that somebody will fall in.
Very hard.
Front loaded, yeah.
Well,
right.
I thought it was crazy. Yeah. Chilas Asiaso of the bar.
Lin Nezek.
Lin Nezek.
It's not Chilas Nezek.
Too damaged.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Or four damages.
Yeah, what, I mean, what does that look like?
Chilas Asiaso
of
No, I'm with you on that.
Joan, you're with me, right? You're not sympathetic to Leon's tangent.
No, meaning I think that the boar just happens to be a kind of different animal.
It's fast out of mine.
Right. I was
We're back with Leon.
Figure of sense that it was an animal, a different animal, and therefore, like, you could talk about it in terms of drama versus mice and ethic.
Yeah.
Right? That's how I was always.
Exactly. That's the way I think he's even thinking about an owner of a dog not exercising proper shmira as a kind of hagrama also. That's like that's why he thinks that in this case he has this vernacular where niske mamon are like niske mamon vis-a-vis the bialin is a kind of hagrama.
So what is nezek other than shore and other than nezek?
I think he's going to say that even shore is a case of.
So what's nezek other than nezek?
It could be that he thinks that that's the only thing that's nezek.
Okay.
Maybe he should keep it also. But that's clearly the terminology that he's working with here.
Okay.
It took me some time to also like figure out like what's he referring to with hagrama.
So
it does. I mean, he's right in the sense that maybe without the Torah creating the categories of niske mamon and niske behema, it would just be grama.
Does that come into a stance that Adam Mazik is a model of insect and Mamon Mazik is just sort of like an equivalent of that?
Yeah, very much so. I think so, yeah. Okay. We'll see that later in Lavin Elza when we come back to it.
Okay,
so. Okay good. Everyone,
you made it because there are points, right? That one is the persistence of background versus position, also that Maisa Nezik always overrides Hagrama.
Sounds like it. Yeah, a Maisa Deshani will always override Hagrama.
Can you tell the name of the term to them, sorry? Or Isaac or someone? What do you mean by that?
Just
first the distinction between the Maisa Nezek and the Grama Nezek, and second the priority that's given to the Maisa Nezek and the Grama.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
And why does the Maisa Nezek override the Grama?
I think because Maisa Nezek is always like a more egregious kind of. So even Grama, risk exposure on his view is significant insofar as it forecasts injury. So like actual contribution to injury maybe is like more of a. More related or more of a basis for liability. That's what I think is the underlying rationale. So this is the setup, right? So the setup is we see from Boram Miskalgel that a Grama Visheni doesn't override Grama the Rishon, but a Maisa Visheni, if it's Bahade Dekazli, that does override the Grama the Rishon. So why don't we say the same thing in the Mishasa case? Right? So that's this paragraph, the second paragraph here. V'hachanami b'pnei Gramas HaMishasa lo niftar bala kelev. So notice he thinks that the Baal HaKelev is like analogous to the HaGrama of the Baal HaKala. Okay? So why don't we say here that you see a Mishasa when I incite Isaac's dog to bite Jonah. So I'm a Gorim, right? Because I'm inciting Isaac's dog. Isaac's dog is doing the actual harm. So it's like a HaGrama HaGrama. Alright, so again, yeah, here you see that the assumption is that the Baal HaBehema of Niske Behema is also a Gorim only. Because he's failing in his Shmira.
Yeah.
So by analogy, the Baal HaKakala is a Gorim. The guy who kicks him and comes to a stationary stop, he's a Gorim. So to hear, I'm Shasta Kabul Shel Chavero, they're both Gorims, and the Baal HaKelev should be Chavero. Does anybody see that? Under the principle that we go for the first Gorim. Tshuva. Vade gai borem skalga barag le adam barag le behema da adam negalga le shalom idai go. V'chein esho gat cheresh v'cheresh v'mamati le glabar da'asu. Lo patrina le l'rishon m'pnei garmaso shel sheni. He's saying in a case where it's no kavana and no kavana, so neither gorim has kavana, we favor the gorim de rishon. But here, he's going to say, if the second gorim has kavana, then that's a reason to attribute liability to the second gorim. So if I see that, about im sam ruven avno versus aram, halach shem midayt of the silka misha, ve'nicha b'makom acher. This is exactly the case of the Torah's Chaim. The second person picks it up, so there's like an intentional act. Ve'nizika nistalku ma'ase ruven rishon v'chayv sheni. V'chein megabe yishnami idul masra leben das. So if there's a second like actor who now like picks it up, and so there's some maisa, that is going to take away the first guy's liability.
Okay, now it's not going to be
now it's v'hachanami hamishase ben dasu hilkach yishlan lifta harishan balakelev v'yachapishan mishase pater. He's saying that here the inciter, the gorim hasheni, is somebody who's acting with das, and the fact that he's a hagrama with das, that's sufficient to override the Grama Derisha. So his move in the second piece is to say, a Hagrama Desheni with Das will override the Hagrama Derisha. That's his gerrymandering way of solving this question. Okay.
Sounds like things are the Maisa Derisha for taking the board.
What?
Sounds like he does think there's a Maisa Derisha for taking the board.
Where do you get that there's a Maisa Derisha? It's a Hagrama de Rishon. Oh, because he calls it Maisei Rishon?
Yeah, are you fun for such a ontological distinction between Maisei and Hagrama? He's already in Maisei.
Yeah. I mean, so the way I read that is that he means the Hagrama, I mean, the aforementioned Maisei Rishon. Not the Maisa Nezek, not the Maisa Nezek. What's critical is not the Maisa, not Maisa per se, it could be a Maisa HaGrama. But, because every Kriyas Bor is a Maisa, but it's a Maisa HaGrama. And that's what he's referring to over here, as opposed to like actual Maisa Nezek. I mean, we could try to figure out more what's going on here. It's definitely clear that the Tosu Rit is engaging in like this kind of gerrymandering to make it work. But what's really important for our analysis is that he thinks that any Maisa Desheni will override the Maisa Derisha. It only gets complicated when you're dealing with a Hagrama versus a Hagrama, which is what's going on in this case. Okay, everybody. Now what's important here as well, getting back to Isaac's point, is that in the Mishasa Kelev Shel Chaveru B'Chaveru case, the Mishasa is Pater, because he's a Gori. So you see here that it's even though the second guy is Pater, his action is sufficient to nullify the first guy's contribution. Good. Anybody want to raise any other issues on that just before I move on? Okay, so I just want to wrap up now with the back to the discussion in Tosos for the last few minutes. That's the Tosos Rit. Tosos Rit, I think, is the strongest phrase, the strongest statement on the mice of the Risho not having persistence against interference with mice of Shani. Here.
Do we have any sense of what Tosfos Rit thinks qualifies as a Maisa of the Behema? Because he could have argued that the Shasakella case would have mice over here. He doesn't
right.
seem to.
Yeah, because Andafi Tess, he's willing to view the mice of the Tarnagol
right.
as a mice of the Behema, which overrides the Hagram of the Risha. Right?
Right.
So you might think that over here, he should think that the Maisa of the Kelev should override the Hagram of the Mishasa. Right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's a really good point. What do you guys make of Yakir's point?
Well,
you need to hear it again? He's saying we know that Tosfos Rid thinks that a Maisa of Behema could override a Hagram of the Rishon. Right? From the Tarnagol case. Mm-hmm. Right? I did. So then why not say in the Mishasa case also that the animal biting Jonah is considered a Maisa of the Sheni, a Maisa of Isaac, which is the Mevata of the Hagrama, the Mishasa.
Can you go back
for it? For Tosfos Rid?
Yeah.
Which one? The Yadi one or? Here's the test one. The Kiva the Sheni Yavid Maisa, that's the Tarnagol that's hopping. But La Hagramaso Shal Rishon.
Yeah.
Here's the Haftalah one.
I mean the first approach one would take probably is to think about whether there's a split between being Mishasa and the chicken moving on its own.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say that maybe there's like something about the Mishasa Ben Das thing. So, John, what's your point again?
No, meaning the difference between the case of the chicken versus the dog is that the dog is being incited by, I guess maybe that's actually similar now to think about.
Right, it is similar.
Right, that is that the dog is being encouraged, right, just because of the
right.
thing. Sure, it's the, right, it's being, it's kind of been trained
right.
or encouraged
right.
to do something, as opposed to the chicken. The chicken, on its own free will, is, swinging its leg around and jumping around.
Yes, yeah, so I would supplement by saying that Mishasa is a bendas, Yakir. It's like Tosfos Rid has like these three different things that you could consider: Hagrama, Maisa, and Das. And it's not clear where he thinks that Das is just an instrument to get you Maisa, as he implies here a little bit. But he might say that because of Mishasa as a Ben Das, so that makes him more of a contributor than the animal's Maisa, right? But it's hard to know exactly what should be the result then. Because you might say, well, if the animal's just a Maisa, then that's the last Maisa which will override the Mishasa's Maisa. Right? So unless Tosfos Rid is going to say, oh, the Maisa of the Ben Das against the Maisa of the Hema are somehow offset by each other.
Is the time not a Maisa of the Ben Das?
No, I think that would be a Hagrama. Tosfos Rid calls that a Hagrama explicitly. You're saying maybe that's not consistent with
what
he's saying. Why
do we say
to keep it the Sheni Yavid Maisa, but La Hagrama also shall be
shown. Why do we say Hagrama?
Which case?
The Mishasa.
Because it's a Ben Das.
But that was also a Ben Das.
Right. So I think I'll have to say maybe this is like a Maisa of a Ben Das that's like closer to the actual Nezek. Then you'd have to introduce a new factor. The easiest answer is to say, it's Tosfos Rid from Maduro's, and he's always been closer. That's the easy way out. And if you want to try to make it work, you'd have to inject further consideration into his children. Further ingredient, if you will. Okay. Yeah, that's a very good point out here.
Maybe it's different when you're. To be poter of the versus Yochai. Because here's the question is why can we be poter of the Baal HaKelev? Obviously, the Maisa of the Kelev wouldn't help to be poter of the Baal HaKelev,
And the reason why we're patering the Rishon, Baal HaKelev. Because of the actions of the Mishasa Ben Das.
Are you still in the same question? Mm-hmm. Why should all turn to the fact that it should be a poser because it's a Mishasa Ben Das?
I just think it's hard to hold entirely.
specifications of how to evolve.
Right.
Animal.
But he never claims there's no difference between those two things.
What?
He never claims there's a difference between those two things.
I don't know what I'm saying. You're still gonna have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll have to revisit this. Let me know if you come up with something. I think that discussion is less important for
right,
like just the general rule that Maisa the Shani will be Mavat the Agrama the Rishon, or the Maisa the Rishon even. So just coming back to Tosus's main point. So here I want to agree to Liad's observation on Wednesday that. There really are two ways. I want to agree with your observation on Wednesday.
Okay.
Well,
I just wanted to hear it again.
Okay. You can listen to the recording all night if you want.
You
can slow it down. You can slow it down. You can put it on your computer. Well, everyone could hear then that Liad was right. So there are really two ways of understanding Tosus's position that when there's an adam bikavana at least that the liability shifts to him. One of them is this way that I was pushing for that the adam's liability suppresses the liability of the Baal HaTakala. But the real point is that they're both shutfin in the nezek. They're both participants in the damage. So they're both chayiv in that sense. But because one of them is a more nearby actor and he's a adam hamazik, so we shift the duty to pay onto him, and once he's paying, that extinguishes any claim against the Baal HaTakala. But really, they're both mazikin, they're both shutfin in the nezek. But there's this external consideration to impose the duty to pay onto the closer, the nearby actor, the adam. That's my preferred reading of Tosfos. One of the virtues of that reading is that you could explain why Tosfos appeals to adam bikavana under the general theory of adam muad laolam bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid. Kavana shouldn't make a difference in whether a person is chayev or not chayev. But what you could say here is that adam bikavana is a reason to shift the duty to pay onto him. What's at bar here is never whether or not he's a mazik and whether he's chayiv. Everybody agrees that the adam is chayiv and the Baal HaTakala is chayiv. But adam bekavana is this external, not about whether he's a mazik, but this external consideration, which is about shifting the duty to pay, the liability onto him. The nafkamina of this view is that, what I was trying to point out under the mamid theory, that he's just like a mamid on the nezek, he's supervising the nezek, that yes, the first address for the tviya is against the adam who participated, the adam hamavid, person who oversaw the nezek. But there, if you can't collect from him, you could always go and collect from the Baal HaTakala. That formulation is pretty explicit in the Ktsos. Let me just put you the language of the Ktsos we didn't get through last time. So here's the Ktsos' formulation. So he quotes this case of the Shulchan Aruch's case, where I extend the fruits into the mouth of the Caliph. Not like a mamid, I preside over the Caliph. I facilitate someone else's Caliph. So I facilitate, I feed Isaac's dog from Jonah's rishos. So he says very explicitly, Chol din shutfin yesh l'shnayim she'ezik. There's really just like general shutfos between the two of them, the Baal HaKaliph and the person who fed the Caliph, the mamid. And then he says very, very nicely, so it's under Mahmid, is what he says. The Chayyim in Mazik. When we keep the Kan Mai Shlo Haisa Behem Bechol Lito, Havale Olea Torah's Mazik, Vehavale Kishnayim Shehiziku. It's really a case like two people who jointly harm. And the mere fact that I fed Isaac's dog doesn't make Isaac any less of a shutef to the nezikin. What it means is that I have to pay out first. But if Jonah can't recover from me, then he goes after Isaac. I think this is just like a very clear way of fleshing out the suppressing svara. Both of them are shutfin in the nezek, but only one of them is liable because he's a mamid, he's the adam bekavana who supervised the nezek. This, the other way of reading Tosos is the way that Liad was really pointing out on Wednesday, which is that they're not shutfin in the nezek. It's not the case that the Baal HaTakala and the mamid are shutfin. Why is that? So let me just point out one other formulation here. And until just Tam, notice how he fleshes out this case. He says, "Dishnehem pashu b'devar." V'lichayev balag achelas, v'lichayev nami balag achelas, v'balag achelas nami chayev. Dichuvayu pashi. Right? They're like two participants in the pshia here. One of those is talking about the case later on in the Kel that drives the Gavelis. In our case of the Gilgal, he says, "V'ischayev behenam Gilgal ba'osa sheninyah hatakala kibochin ischayev b'machayev both in the Gilgal and the Baal Hatakala dishnehem pashim b'davar." Both of them are negligent, so both of them are shutfin in the nezek. Right, that's like a simple way of explaining why you should split the liability between the two of them. Why does he reject that? Why does he reject that argument that you should split the liability because they're both poshim? So he says in the highlighted section, "She'ein lebal habor lishmar boru me'adam sheish bodas lishmar asufo el mibehem lechuda she'ein lebas." So the reason to split liability is because they're both poshim and therefore both shutfin. When he comes around to Tosus' suggestion that only the azam should be held liable, not the bal hatakala, it's because he rejects the assumption that they're both posheya. It turns out that when you analyze the facts of the case and the nature of chiyuv bor, it turns out that only one of them was posheya. Because, as Liad said on Wednesday, your duty to exercise caution over your bor is only with respect to beings that don't possess human agency. But you're not considered to have been negligent with respect to the intervention of an intentional human act. So you see this, the difference. So what the setup here is very nice. He's saying they should both be held liable because they're both posheya. And his answer is no, really only one of them is posheya. And it's a chiddush in Hilchos Bor that you're not considered to have created a hazard with respect to intentional human intervention. Right? That's very different from the explanation that I was giving under Mamid, which is that even within Tosis' suggestion that we're only holding the other liable, they're still both posheya, they're both contributing to the harm, but the other bekavana is a reason to, because he's supervising Nezek, it's a reason to drag away the liability and to impose it primarily onto the mami, the other, and only secondarily onto the Baal HaTakala. So you see the difference between the two views? I think it's just a perspicuous way of bringing out that difference. So, yeah, does that do justice to what you said on Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay. Can you say that again?
That's correct.
Well, you did a good job, you're correct.
Okay.
You deserve this one. You need it. I
want to point out here one thorny problem with my Mamid approach is, remember, we saw Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, who wanted to make the argument the other way. The contrarian case can be made that the Baal HaTakala is a mamid on the Adam HaMegalgel. Remember, we saw this peculiar suggestion of Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz that maybe the Baal HaTakala should be liable under Adam HaMazik because, like, he, like, in a certain sense, supervised the Gilgul of the Adam HaSheni. Or he set the conditions for the Gilgal HaSheni. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
So even when you get into Mamid, you could get into this thorny question about, well, who's the Mamid, who's the supervisor, and who's the supervisee? All right, so in Tosos, it's very clear that the supervisor is the Adam HaMegalgel, and that's why he suppresses the liability, he catches and suppresses the liability of the Baal HaTakala. In the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz suggestion, it seemed that the logical possibility is open to say the contrary, that a person who creates a takala, which is then kicked by somebody else, the Baal HaTakala is the supervisor of the later person's gilgul. So you will need some, you'll still need some principle to figure out who the ma'amid and who the ne'amad is in such a case. So you need like some meta principle to figure that out. Okay. So you see, those are two very different ways of understanding Tosfos. My preferred way under ma'amid is that the adam b'kavana suppresses the liability of the Baal HaTakala, but they're both shutfin. The Tosos or Talmud or Rabbeinu Tam way, under Liad's suggestion, is that no, the reason why only the Adam is liable is because only the Adam is Poshea. The Baal HaTakala is not Poshea in that case. So there are no Shutfin. It's a no Shutfin argument. Okay. Let me wrap this up by making a further observation. Iker, do you want to say something? Further observation in the other two ways of explaining Tosfos, different from the two ways that I just outlined. So the Avodah Ozel theory, I think, is neither the Tosfos, neither the Mami way, nor the Tosfos Talmud Rabbeinu Tam way. There's only one Poshea. The Avodah Ozel way argues. Let me give you a little background. The general theory of this piece in Chol Mazeh Parak Olach HaTezayim is that there are two ontological categories of Nezigen. Maybe these mirror what I was pointing out in the Tosus Rid. One is Chisaron Shmira, a kind of negligence basis for liability. And the other is Adam HaMazeh. Call him just like an egregious tortfeasor. He argues that in Adam shelo b'kavana, so even though an Adam is liable both b'kavana and shelo b'kavana, an Adam shelo b'kavana is really a negligence basis for liability. That's what he says here. V'dafka ba'adam shelo b'kavana. And here he gets to Noah's point earlier in this line. That a person has a duty to be shomer himself. He said when a person harms shelo b'kavana, the basis for liability is negligence. Chisaron shmira. But when a person harms with kavana, there's a like an ontologically distinct basis for liability, which is that he's an egregious tortfeasor. He's not an avazit. He thinks the negligence basis is common to both Nizkei Mamon and Adam HaMazik Shelo B'Kavana. So if you're asked to choose between an Adam HaMazik Shelo B'Kavana and a Nizkei Mamon, which are both negligence-based liabilities, so there's no preference for one over the other. But when you have an Adam HaMazik B'Kavana, which is like this basis of like a egregious tortfeasor, and you're choosing between that and just the negligence basis for liability, so you always impose the liability on the egregious tortfeasor rather than the mazik. Does everybody see what he's getting at? Now it's clear when you read this piece that he doesn't think that the egregious tortfeasor rather than the mazik really suppresses the liability of negligence, but he thinks that like that's the only basis for liability in such a case. So it's like you only can be held liable under a negligence basis if there's no Adam HaMazik basis. But when there are two contributors, so to speak, Adam HaMazik and just the negligence, Chesron Shmira, the Adam HaMazik is always the cause of the liability. Is everybody?
So just to clarify?
Yeah.
So we're saying that there's two categories of Nezek, let's say.
Exactly.
One is, let's say, the vast majority of cases, which is that there's a chesed and shmira, right? And that even includes some cases of Adam.
Adam shelo b'kavana, correct.
And then only cases of Adam b'kavana are in that other category.
Adam hamazik, right.
And then when...
And he says, even the yesh kan Adam hamazik, even chayat and klal al takala.
Meaning when they come to a head, each one of these categories are acting upon one case, then we're going to blame the Adam hamazik guy and not be worried about the chesed and shmira.
Correct. Although I take back my, I might have misstated this. I think maybe I'm wrong to say that there's no basis for holding the negligence guy liable at all. Maybe this is a suppressing theory. He says, "Mikivan shegeish kan mazik tzarechu l'shalim makol." And Adam hu bekavana ein min hadin sheyishalim bala takala. It's like inappropriate that bala takala should be liable. So maybe he's not saying that Adam hamazik is like the mazik in such a case. He's just saying when you're choosing between negligent basis for liability and like an egregious tortfeasor basis for liability, it's only appropriate that the egregious tortfeasor should pay. So maybe he does recognize that there's shutfus, just the duty to compensate falls on the egregious tortfeasor. What do you guys think?
Oh, the feasor.
Well, imposer. Feasor, F-E-A-S-O-R.
It's one of the words for tortfeasor.
Yeah, it's one word. Yeah. But it's like the person who's like really like imposing the harm, as opposed to just like, oh, there was negligence which contributed to somebody. Well,
he's the tort. Yeah.
Right. As you're the dayan on the Supreme Court of the Student Council of Yeshiva University.
He's also the English. I'm on break right now.
Right.
We're just finishing our landmark decision.
That's right.
How does the Eben Ezel's dichotomy fit in within the worldview of Shmuel that Adam is not part of the is not part of the distinction in, within Shmuel's distinction between Adam and Isaac and Shmuel?
So I think that works nicely.
Why? Meaning he says Adam Shalom Kavana, then he's saying that it's in within the categorization of the Skemon,
right.
Which makes sense
right.
Since this theory of liability.
And let's say, okay, what's in the Mishnah is like, you know, some pedagogical question as to what the Tanaim thought was like useful for people to remember when they know the first Mishnah.
So it'd be an academic response to
Lamjah. I don't know if that's academic, but it's pedagogical.
Good attempt at a call out though.
What?
It was a great attempt at a call out though.
Great attempt. Keyword. Keyword good attempt. Okay. So I think that maybe the best way to understand the Avnazel here is that it's really just on the duty to compensate. Both are mazikim, but when you want to impose liability, it makes sense to impose liability on the tortfeasor rather than the negligent party. That's unreasonable to the oilam here?
Yeah,
I think that's the most correct reading. If you look at the Birka Shmuel, it's good. The Birka Shmuel, his idiom is to say that there's no shutfus in such a case. There can't be shutfus without the mazik, which is to go into the much stronger camp of saying that, unlike my suggestion in Tosos, that there's man-made shutfus, just a duty to compensate on one of them, he seems to be saying that, don't say this, but this is the view. The bracket ain't more. The other bekavana lo shayach shutfus. Shehei bala bora bala ishudav shiushneim chayavim. To the extent that you think that shutfus means shutfus in the actual imposition of the harm, he's saying it's lo shayach that a person could have a shutfus that's niskeimamo. Now the bekavana can have a shutfus that's niskeimamo. The question then is, do you really want to think that he means shutfus shiushneim chayavim, like that the shutfus and tashlumin? But then over here he says, "The adam bekavana shehishlech lebor have ikar hamazik." What does ikar hamazik imply? You know, I'm just going to give up trying to make yukin in the Birka Shmuel. That's the.
Do it.
Well.
Do it.
Yeah. I mean, look at this. Look at this Shimon Shkap. I mean, let's see. Maybe this is clear. And here, let me just cite that. If you look bein bekavana shelo bekavana, the bekavana ha'adam hadofif as hanizek lebor chashiv kilu asa kol hanizek ba'atzma. I think it's a little clearer that he thinks that when there's an adam bekavana, so he's the sole mazik, right? He's the also called a hezek ba'atzma, which is different from my reading of David Ozel and Tosos. Okay, is everybody? So just to summarize that discussion, so on Liad's point in Tosos, Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, there's only one poshea, right? Because the Baal HaBor is not poshea with respect to human intervention. In my reading of Tosos under Mamid, there are two mazikim, but since one person supervises the Nezek, he's the Mamid, so he imposed the duty on him And that imposition of duty to compensate suppresses the other person's duty to pay. But in principle, if the adam, the ma'amid, can't pay, you could go after the ba'al takala. Because there really is joint shutfus and the nezek, but the chiyuv tashlumin falls only on one of them. I think the Ibn Azal agrees with me in terms of the structure, that the one person's liability is suppressing the other person's liability. It's not based on ma'amid that one person supervised the nezek, it's really based on this ontological distinction of two different groundings, two different bases for liability, negligence versus an egregious tortfeasor. Between the two of them, we impose the liability on the egregious tortfeasor. So nothing to do with ma'amid, but it has to do with like the ontological quality of the basis for liability. Different from those, my suggestion, Tosos and the Ibn Azal suggestion, is the suggestion at least of Rav Shimon Shkup in Fushiyot Shimon Yehuda Siman Dalet, where he says that when there's an adam, the adam is the sole mazik. Right? So in structure, he agrees with Tosos Talmud or Rabbeinu Tam that there's only one mazik, but for a different reason. Because for Tosos Talmud or Rabbeinu Tam, it's about the nature of bor, that you're only considered to be poshea in a bor with respect to non-human nezikin. Right? You're not considered to be poshea with respect to a human agent using your bor. For Shimon Shkup, the point here is that whenever there's an adam, he's considered to be the sole mazik. Nothing to do with the hilchos pshia de bor. That's my general summary of the sugya here. There's one thing to consider further. I'm not as confident about it, so I leave it for you to look over yourselves. In the rush, that suggestion that I had last time, that maybe in the rush, the idea is that you have to weigh the pshia of both parties. So if you read this piece, where the rush was at, it was a way to try to show that the adam hamigalgel was somehow poshea behezik. So I think there's room to read this as saying that, well, you have to assess the comparative pshia of the Baal HaTakala against the pshia of the Adam involved. So then you, if you agree with that reading, like here's the Adam Vardasu Poshea that he's saying Mifter Baal HaTakala now. My suggested reading of this, though it's far from Mufrakis, so there's somewhat speculative, is that what he's suggesting is that in this case, there's an empirical assessment that the Adam HaMigalgel was more Poshea with respect to the Nezek and the Baal HaTakala. And so the general theory for adjudicating between two mazikin is to look for who is considered to be the larger poshea. Right? Who was more negligent than the other one with respect to the harm that resulted. So that would be a different basis for distributing liabilities between the parties. But I think the reading of the rush might be controversial. Because all he emphasizes really is the fact that the other was actually poshea and the hezek. He doesn't really engage in this contrastive way of gauging the pshia of the adam against the pshia of the Baal HaTakala. Okay, so adkan for the sugya of the basic rules for distributing liabilities between two mazikim. Our next sugya is going to be the sugya of adam hamazik, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid. So I'll send out our makomos. A lot of it's going to be the sugya on chav zayin. So if we want to, we could wait to do it. But I feel like it's so yisodistic, it's important to get it out in the beginning. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we do Adam HaMazik, and then we're going to move on to Beit Av. So I think we'll do 1 week on Adam HaMazik, maybe a week and a half, and then start the sugyas on Daf Vav from the base through Daf Tes. That's the next swath of Gemara that we're going to stake out.
Question?
Yeah.
What did you cut out for the sources?